Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. So now, instead of "We Stand With Israel, Joe Biden," the anti-white Democratic Party is almost certainly fielding ironclad commitment to Israel, Kamala Harris, a mixed-race female who is married to a Jew, to oppose the anti-white Republicans' choice, "No one has done more for Israel and the Jews than I have," Donald Trump, whose grandchildren are Jewish, and who is so proud that his daughter married big winner Jared Kushner, a New York Jew who is a real estate tycoon, as is Trump, whose father was in the same business but got caught paying off one too many politicians and was in prison until Trump pardoned him. Both Harris and Trump were very busy this week, meeting with Israeli leader and ongoing butcher of tens of thousands in the Gaza killing fields, Benjamin Netanyahu, who also addressed a joint session of Congress as he trolled U.S. power centers looking for more billions in weapons, dollars, and commitments. The controlled media seldom mention this, but there are a lot of countries where Netanyahu can't land because he has an International Criminal Court arrest warrant out for him for all the war crimes he's committed in the last 9 months. Trump told Netanyahu that if elected, he would continue to give the Jewish state so much that he, quote, "didn't see how a Jewish person could vote Democrat," close quote. Trump also ominously said that he would take steps to put an end to anti-Semitism on U.S. campuses. Just one of a long series of repeated declarations from Trump that criticism of Jews would be somehow ended in the United States under a Trump administration. While president, Trump did already sign a bill forbidding federal funding to any colleges or schools that permit any groups or activities that Jews don't like. Despite this, there is no place in the U.S. where the Jewish state is more strongly criticized than on college campuses today. And clearly, both Trump and Netanyahu want to put an end to that. The First Amendment be damned. Harris stated, quote, "The U.S.-Israel relationship is unbreakable and enduring," close quote, and, quote, "The United States will always stand with Israel," close quote, and, quote, "Our commitment to Israel's security is ironclad," close quote. Netanyahu gave us a very rare display of gratitude during his meeting with Harris's nominal boss, Joe Biden, saying of his loyal servant, quote, "From a proud Jew Zionist to a proud Irish-American Zionist, I want to thank you for 50 years of public service and 50 years of support for the State of Israel," close quote. So, it sounds like business as usual in Washington. The Jews own the money machine and the media machine that control the fraud called American democracy. So the Jews get anything they want, almost, even as they forcibly evict a whole people from their own homeland, gun down children, and murder innocent families en masse for decade after decade, displacing millions, starving millions, firebombing whole cities into ashes, and killing tens of thousands in the last 9 months alone. But there are cracks appearing in their regime of exploitation and oppression. as is usual for them. They just can't restrain their hate and bloodlust and anger and evil. So they go too far. Even former allies like the Browns and Blacks they weaponized against whites mostly can't abide what they've done to the Palestinians. And hundreds of thousands of whites, formerly of the left or the right, are coming to realize that it is the international Jews who are behind the effort to silence dissent in the West, behind the debasement of our currency and the increasing impoverishment of white working people, behind the war on white people that is rapidly replacing the founding stock of this nation, and behind the aggressive push to glorify and promote every form of sexual degeneracy under the sun, so long as it tends to reduce the number of white children being born. This growing awakening to the reality of Jewish power and to the rank toxicity of Jewish power and to the malevolence of the Jewish power structure has now entered the political mainstream. It may seem like just an undercurrent, but it is real. And undercurrents have a way of undermining even huge mountains and making them crumble away in an instant when you least expect it. Fact. Jew-loving, overtly Israel-loving, and married to a Jew, Harris, was forced by the political reality of her base to criticize Netanyahu and his bloody war moments after meeting him, and additionally felt obligated to say, quote, "I hear you," close quote, and, quote, "I understand your concerns," close quote, to those who have been calling for Netanyahu's arrest and chanting, "From the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free," in their effort to utterly defeat and reverse the Jewish state's conquests in the Middle East. Even Jew-loving and overtly Israel-loving, "We must eliminate Hamas and anti-Semitism," Trump was forced to say that Netanyahu's murder spree has, quote, "gone on too long," close quote, and needs to end. Weak words, to be sure, but a few years ago, even those weak words would have been unthinkable. Things have changed. Trump even appeared annoyed at the end of their meeting when Netanyahu failed to give him a campaign-boosting ceasefire commitment as a result of their talk. And when Netanyahu extended his hand as they stood up, obviously looking for a handshake, Trump just looked off into the middle distance and walked off stage. Another crack in the system is Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the biggest challenge ever seen to the fraudulent Jewish money system that has ruled the West for more than a century. A system that allows Jews to essentially print money and give it to themselves. No wonder they succeed so much. But Bitcoin was specifically designed to put an end to that financial system and replace it with an immutable public ledger that cannot be faked. Protected by the most massive cryptographic wall of computing power ever assembled on this earth. And it replaces fake Jewish money with new money that cannot be manipulated. As such, it was mocked and hated and derided and falsely accused of being a Ponzi scheme and facilitating crime by the Jews in power and in the media for more than 10 years. Of course, they were lying, as usual. It's the current financial system that's a Ponzi scheme, and it's the current financial system that facilitates the crimes of the century. But as more and more of the most intelligent people adopted Bitcoin, and as it grew from a novelty and a dream worth a fraction of a cent, to become in just a decade or so a totally new kind of asset with a value not in the millions or billions, but trillions, the Jews and many others in the establishment have been forced to adopt it, kicking and screaming outwardly or inwardly, to be sure, but adopting it still. So many members of the establishment, realizing more than anybody that the existing financial system is a failure that was bound to implode and hurt even them someday, have quietly adopted Bitcoin too. There are now too many of them. They are everywhere, inside every government agency, inside every large corporation, at every level of power. Bitcoin is now held in spot ETFs on the stock exchanges. There will be no ban. They're not going to ban their own financial future. The war against usury will be won now. That is certain, though most Americans never knew there was such a war. Our bureaucrats and regulators also have the example of China to ponder, possibly the strongest and most authoritarian government in the world. Has banned Bitcoin 6 times now in various ways, including banning Bitcoin mining. But all the bans failed, and a large percentage of BTC mining is now done there again, and the ban is simply not enforced. The BTC network is just too resilient and powerful. Even state-level actors can't turn it off. India's example is similar, and there are others. Bitcoin has been made legal tender in El Salvador against the explicit wishes of the Jews' International Monetary Fund, who have proven powerless to stop them. And there are special Bitcoin neighborhoods and Bitcoin-favorable laws and jurisdictions in a dozen countries around the world, including Lugano, Switzerland. Many Jews, realizing that Bitcoin is the future, have started accumulating it in large amounts so that they will have a good financial position as the new world emerges. But proportionally, I am sure that there still will be a shift in power toward non-Jews as the new landscape is formed. Trump, who knows basically nothing of Bitcoin and loves the fraudulent dollar system, which has been very good to him, has been forced by political realities to support the new freedom money and will even be speaking at a Bitcoin conference this week in Nashville, as will his rival Robert Kennedy. It's rumored that J.D. Vance owns 5 or 6 bitcoins himself. Trump has been considering establishing a U.S. strategic bitcoin reserve and has called for the U.S. to become the overwhelming leader in BTC mining. Kennedy has called for backing the dollar with bitcoin. Harris negotiated for a while about speaking at the same bitcoin event, but finally declined. So the system that the Jews have established has some pretty big cracks in its foundation. Let's encourage those cracks to widen. That will not be done by wasting your life in the party politics sandbox. That will be done by building new communities and making those communities successful and powerful. I can't stand either Harris or Trump, and I hate to give the impression that I or the National Alliance think elections are a major concern. They aren't. But I really would like to be able to read the minds of creatures like Trump and Harris and Vance. How much do they really love Israel and Jews and the Jewish agenda? Sometimes I suspect that no one does, not even Jews. And how much is just fakery to advance themselves? I am sure we'll never know for certain, but one thing is sure. If we set the stage for our own future success and the exponentially increasing success of our children and grandchildren in the all-white communities that the National Alliance is building, then someday there will be politicians who will, by the raw necessity of needing to please us to survive as leaders, will be required to support us, fund us, accommodate us, make policy that favors us, and use the power of the state to protect us. That is something we can accomplish. That is something that we must accomplish before it's too late. And paying too much attention to the latest election hullabaloo is a distraction from that important goal. The Jews have made it impossible with their massive non-white immigration and media control, which gives them control of the major parties, for whites to save themselves via elections. So forget elections and concentrate on what will work. Community will work. Solidarity will work. An unbreakable will based on a new race-based spirituality will work. So let's get to work.